Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. The Dow, the S&P, and NASDAQ are all declining right now, with the S&P 500 index slumping 4 points to 2181. That is a drop of 0.2%. Dow Industrials down 44 points, also a drop of 0.2%. And NASDAQ is down 0.5%. The 10-year down 20, 30 seconds, the yield 1.61%. Gold down $8 the ounce to $13.37, a drop there of 0.6%. And crude oil, West Texas Intermediate, rallying 4.6%, up $2.08 a barrel now, $47.57 after this morning's inventories report. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
You're listening to Taking Stock with Kathleen Hayes and Pim Fox on Bloomberg Radio.
Do the names Colin Chapman, Michael Schumacher, or Jackie Stewart mean anything to you? Well, they do to our next guest, Paul Sweeney. He is U.S. Director of Research and Senior Media and Internet Analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. Of course, Bloomberg Intelligence providing unique and real-time research and context for a variety of industries, as well as markets and government factors that affect business. Our terminal customers can access this function just by typing BIGO on the Bloomberg. Paul Sweeney, go ahead. I didn't want to give it away. What do all those names have in common?
Formula One race car drivers.
Yes, and you are here to tell us about the new owner of Formula One.
Right. It's in a, I think, a kind of a surprising transaction yesterday. John Malone's Liberty Media Company is one of his many Liberty Media companies tracking stocks. Announced that it's purchasing Formula One, parent company, for about $4.4 billion, and really making a big play on a sport that is not well known here in the U.S., but it's got a major global footprint.
Well, I'm so glad to see. Here you say it was a surprise, because I'm going, really, when I saw this, right? But of course, Liberty Media CEO Greg Maffei calling its Formula One's digital operations, that part of it, underdeveloped. And you know, we have seen, like, the Tennis Channel is doing quite well. The Sinclair Broadcasting just got them there. They want to get to, what, 60, 70 million households from 47 million. Now, the tennis is a niche sport. However, it seems that a lot of people are betting on taking an audience that is, as Maffei says, underdeveloped, and, you know, not trying to be broad, but really trying to make that niche be something strong and powerful and profitable.
It's interesting. It's a global sporting franchise, much like soccer is on a global basis. It really is a global basis. And the interesting thing there is they have a television audience of over 400 million. That's a big number globally, but it's down from 600 million about 10 years ago. So they have a big over-the-air audience. They have a pay TV audience. But there's a lot of markets where they're really underpenetrated from a television perspective. The United States market, North America being the biggest, but there are also a lot of Asian markets where they feel like they're underpenetrated from a television audience perspective. So I know listening to the Liberty folks yesterday, they think that's an area of growth. But as you mentioned, they highlighted some of the digital opportunities where really that they believe that the long-term growth is for this business, i.e., let's create digital distribution platforms, whether it's direct internet access to allow more fans to get access to this racing and to try to monetize those digital rights in the future, which is something that really Formula One, by its own admission, really has not done.
What happens to Bernie Ecclestone?
Well, I think
he's the current chief executive of Formula One.
Yeah, Bernie Ecclestone really founded Formula One racing as a global business, you know, 30 years ago. But again, I think certainly in the near term he's going to stay there. We'll have to see what happens. Liberty Media did bring in Chase Carey. He used to be a senior executive at Rupert Murdoch and is an extremely well thought of executive, certainly in the media and telecommunications space. So he's going to be the chairman of this new company, and Bernie's going to stay as the CEO. But long term, you know, there may be some changes there. But clearly, I think Liberty Media is making a big bet here. I think they really view this as a content play. I don't think they're necessarily big sports fans, but I think they recognize it as an undervalued content asset that they believe over the next 5 to 10 years they can grow the audience, and then they can grow the advertising and sponsorship revenue opportunities, because that's really what you're talking about when you think about the business of Formula One. It's global TV advertising and global sponsorship support around the world, and they think they can develop that.
So then, do you think this is a sort of a one-time sort of deal for them? Or do you think they could look at other franchises, other sports that have these parts of the world that just aren't watching that much and find a way to leverage that?
Yeah, I think typically for a John Malone type of transaction, the first thing I thought of when I saw this cross the tape is he is going to use this asset as a wedge to get into other global media companies. If somebody wants to do really partner with Formula One, I think John Malone would be willing to give up some equity in the Formula One business in exchange for equity in a larger global media company. That's kind of been his MO, to use an asset as a wedge or a way to get into an equity ownership position in another company. So, you know, whether that's a Italian company like Mediaset or, you know, something along those lines, one of the Sky companies potentially, I could see this as a way for him to kind of broaden his global distribution platform.
Paul Sweeney, thanks so much for joining us. He's Director of North American Research and Media Analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. Well, going from Formula One racing to a different kind of race now, back-to-back appearances by Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump at a forum on the military Wednesday night exposed enduring weaknesses that both candidates have yet to overcome 2 months before the presidential election. Joining us now, Mark Niket, government reporter for Bloomberg News, joining us from Columbus, Ohio. So, Mark, they didn't exactly face off. They weren't debating directly at each other, but they were debating each other from afar in a way, right?
Right. I mean, they were in appearances. They were in the same venue, but didn't appear on the stage at the same time. One went first and the other followed. But they were clearly talking about a lot of the same issues. Donald Trump was bringing up Hillary Clinton's judgment. She had to defend her use of a private email server when she was Secretary of State. And she was calling out his temperament for being commander-in-chief, which was the purpose of the forum, by pointing out that he has not had much to say about what he would do with the Islamic State or other specific plans. And that was sort of exposed in the questioning in this forum.
Hey, Mark, I'm just wondering if you could speak a little bit about the actual forum that took place and the interviewer, Matt Lauer, because that drew a lot of criticism on the Internet.
It did. This was, again, they were not together. It was Matt Lauer interviewing each candidate individually, and you had questions from veterans in the audience as well. And Lauer, the host of the Today Show on NBC, got some criticism that he wasn't treating the candidates fairly, that he was a little more hard on Clinton with his questioning, particularly about the emails, her email problem, and also that he didn't challenge Donald Trump when he said was opposed to the Iraq war all along, when in fact there's evidence that he said he was supportive of the war. So he wasn't sort of fact-checking and challenging false statements when he was interviewing Trump. So, I mean, it also sort of underscores the difficulty this kind of setting has. And as we look forward to the next debate coming up, the first debate actually later this month, sort of underscores the problem of trying to deal in particular with Trump, who, you know, makes a lot of broad statements. You know, it's sometimes hard to pin him down on specifics of what he means. And also, you know, this question of being able to challenge something that he says that might not be accurate at the time he says it.
Of course, so much criticism of the media being too liberal. Maybe that's what he was trying to overcompensate for. I guess we won't know unless we get him on the show. But Mark, the latest polls, let's talk about those, because they seem to show some very stark differences between Clinton supporters and Donald Trump supporters that have been more and more persistent throughout these campaigns.
Right. We have a poll up on our website now that it's called the Purple Slice online poll that's done for Bloomberg Politics. And we specifically looked at voters who do not have a high school, more than a high school education. These would be sort of uneducated voters, or at least voters who don't have a college degree. And we looked at that because, you know, Donald Trump has made pretty strong outreach to sort of working class voters, voters in this demographic. And the poll showed that he does have very strong appeal among whites who have no more than a high school degree. He's leading Clinton by like 55% to 33% in that group. But when you look at the total group of folks who just have a high school degree, Clinton is still ahead, just because she has such an overwhelming lead among minority voters who don't have a high school degree. It's like 83% to 10%. So when you put all those groups together, Clinton still has a lead, but it shows sort of her weakness in that area, particularly white working class voters. And the poll suggests that a lot of this could come down to turnout, you know, whose voters get to the polls, particularly in these key swing states like Ohio and Pennsylvania. Are they the minority voters who are more likely to support Hillary Clinton, or sort of the white working class folks who might be more enamored of Donald Trump?
What about other Republican candidates and Hillary Clinton's call for them to disassociate themselves from Donald Trump's comments regarding Russian President Vladimir Putin?
Right. It's kind of follow up from the forum last night in New York. Hillary Clinton had sort of an impromptu press conference on the tarmac before she flew out to a rally she was having in North Carolina today, where she linked specifically comments that Donald Trump had made about generals, U.S. generals. He'd suggested they'd been reduced to a pile of rubble and weren't effective in the Obama administration, and praise he had for Vladimir Putin, the Russian leader. Essentially, you know, Putin has said favorable things about Trump, and Trump said he was glad, and Clinton was trying to suggest that this was somehow unpatriotic to both criticize U.S. generals and praise, in this case, an adversary in Russia.
Thanks very much. Mark Niquette is a government reporter for Bloomberg News, joining us from the battleground state of Columbus, Ohio. Thank you very much. You're listening to Taking Stock. I'm Pim Fox. This is Bloomberg.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.